This is the Boop Show for October 30th, 2017, with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show, the last one of the month of October, 2017.
It's scary.
Yeah, we'll do one next October. It's fine. Or four. We'll do four next October. Thank you for being here, everybody. Episode 153 is where we're at. And I'm about to go to BlizzCon, so lots of game stuff when I return. Things to talk about on the Blizzard front. We will surely touch on a few of those. But, Brian, it'll be fun, but it won't be as fun as It wouldn't be as fun. It's not as fun when you're not there. That's what I meant.
It would be more fun if I was also there.
There. Gotcha. There, you got it. You rephrased it in a way that we can all understand. Well done.
this proper English.
Yeah, that's all we need here on the show. Anyway, we're going to dive right in. We been a busy week. Picked up Super Mario Odyssey, I should say. And I picked up Assassin's Creed Origins. Now, here's the thing I was faced with. This is a time of year when all the good games come out, and this year is crazy. So there was a lot on the table here. I could have picked up Destiny. A couple weeks before that, could have picked up the new Shadow of War game, the Mordor sequel. Could have picked up Wolfenstein, the new Colossus thing that dropped same day as Super Mario Odyssey and Assassin's Creed Origins. So I had to make a decision. I had to make a choice. I was going to allot myself two games and two only. And the goal is to beat those, or at least one of them, before going near another one. And so that's what I chose. I chose carefully, and I ended up picking Mario, and I ended up picking AC Origins, mostly because Mario was a foregone conclusion. There was no way I was not getting that. That's just dumb to think.
Yeah, you can't not get that, because, I mean, three-fourths of FilmSack is playing that.
Yeah, everybody but you, buddy. You need to get that Switch. We got to get you a Switch. That's what has
to
happen.
Gotta get the Switch. Gotta get the Switch.
But it's, excuse me, amazing, that Mario game. And everyone's thinking, you're thinking, if you go online, you look at these reviews and you're like, 10 out of 10, how is this possible? How is this a 9.5 game? How is this a 9.8.9? Like, how are these people reviewing it nearly perfectly across the board? We haven't seen this since, I don't know, earlier this year when Breath of the Wild came out. It's true. Everything you read is true. It is a fantastic, wonderful, delightful, incredible experience so far. I'm in New Donk City, so that's how far I am.
New Duke City.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Game is super weird too, which I really appreciate about it. It's a really strange game on lots of levels.
Scott, I hate to interrupt you. I'm just getting this in. Beep, player beats. Mario Odyssey in under 90 minutes for an early world record.
Yeah, this is what happens. Someone speed runs and then wins, and that's what they do. They're like professional speed runners. So those stories are awesome because I love speed runners and I like watching them. But that's a dude what doesn't play any games except this way. This is how he plays them. He's a professional speed runner, which is great. I'm hours into it and plan on spending more hours in it. And I haven't felt this way about a video game, let alone a Mario game, since probably the N64's release of Super Mario 64. In that way that game just blew everyone's mind at the time, changed 3D platformers, adventure style games forever, was a huge deal, right? That hit and we just went, whoa, look at what this is. This is a new thing forever and from now on, and we couldn't believe it. And sure enough, it was as influential as we all thought it was. This feels like a proper Mario game in that legacy. And it's really fun. It's super engaging. It is a hoot. It's funny.
Scott.
Yeah.
What's up with that hat?
Am I wearing a hat?
No, not your hat. And Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, in the hat.
It's on topic. I mean, it's all over the cover.
No, I like this. For a minute, I thought, am I wearing a hat and you're making fun of the hat I'm wearing? But I'm not really wearing one.
No, I'm wearing a hoodie.
The hat is the new gimmick, if you want to call it that. All right. So whereas the N64 Mario was like, the new gimmick is 3D. And what can we do there? That's not much of a gimmick, but it was a huge jump forward, right?
Right. Well, it's no hat gimmick, but no, go ahead.
Definitely not. Then you got your, and I'm just talking mainline Mario games here, so I'm not going to, you know, I love all things. I'll play them all. I like the golf. I like the tennis. I'm into the Mario Party. I think everything they do with Mario's name on it, always fun, always a good time. So I'm not going to talk about those, but we're talking mainline, like, tentpole Mario games. The next big one would be Super Mario Sunshine.
Wow.
On the GameCube. Am I missing one? Right. Hold on. Am I missing one?
No. That's some high praise there, because that's one of my all-time favorites.
I like that game a lot. A lot of people pretended that they didn't like it because they just were haters then, but it's actually a really good Mario game. There's nothing wrong with it.
I kept coming back to finish it. I kept coming back.
Yeah, it's more great. And more. Now, that game, very much so a gimmicky game, in that your gimmick in that game was the sprayer thing, the water sprayer thing, right?
Right, right.
So you'd run around with that backpack and you'd spray stuff down and just hose down the world, pressure wash the world away, right? That was that.
Yeah.
His next big gimmick for a mainline game was Super Mario Galaxy.
That was a good one too.
It's weird to think it's only been, if we're talking just mainline games, you're only talking about, let me think about this, N64.
Uh-huh.
So Mario 64, Sunshine, Galaxy. Galaxy 2 is basically the same game, just more of it. So I'm going to count that as one. So there's Galaxy, and then on the Wii U, you had 3D World, which was kind of a take on a 3DS game, and an amazing game, but I'm not sure I'd call it a mainline game. And then you got this. So really you only have three, maybe four games in between the N64 and this, as far as mainline Mario games. I'm going to quit saying mainline here in a second. But the point is that like, those have always been amazing, incredible, and it turns out not that many of them. They spend a lot of time working on them, and they end up being amazing because of that, right?
Right.
All right, so bottom line with this one, I don't even know where to go with it. Just to say,
bottom line it for me. Does his living hat, is, how is it
imbued? Oh, his hat. I forgot his hat. So his hat.
How is it imbued with life now, or has it always been alive?
Okay,
don't retcon my Mario.
I'm not. He has not always been alive. Okay. In fact, there's a very sad moment at the beginning of this game. This isn't a big spoiler, but his hat gets just destroyed, like shredded, and gets blown all over the place. Right. Then I will just say, without giving anything away, you run into some, let's call them entities, that are basically, it's a race of hat people.
Race of hat people.
Yeah, like I said, this game is weird. And is weird. You end up kind of reincarnating the hat with this possession mechanic. But here's the thing during the game. It's not always your hat. Not always the Mario hat that you're throwing around. You can get any kind of number of hats by buying different hats on these different worlds. So if you're on the world that's like the weird little Mexican Riviera place, you can buy a sombrero and a freaking matching pair of clothes. And you can run through the rest of that game, if you want, in nothing but a pair of boxer shorts with hearts on them and a sombrero. If you so choose to play that way, you can do that. If you want to play the entire time in like a space suit with like a flight helmet, you can do that. And it's the flight helmet you're throwing. So it lets you switch all this stuff up. It's crazy and weird.
I like it.
Yeah. The hat does all sorts of stuff. It helps you traverse things. It helps trigger things. Oh my gosh.
Don't be triggering people. I do enough of that daily.
It's a genuinely fun new way to play the game. And you still have all the kind of run and jump stuff, but there's so many other ways to do it. It's a possession mechanic. So just about any creature in the game, I shouldn't say any, but many of the creatures in the game, and sometimes just straight up objects in the game, can be taken over by you, and then you basically possess them and then move them around and do stuff. There's tanks, for example, in the game that I can take over a tank, and now I can shoot shells and be a big tank. There's a dinosaur at one point early in the game where I just throw it on top of this giant T-Rex, and now I'm a giant T-Rex, and I can go do stuff and solve the puzzle as a T-Rex. It sounds wacky, and it completely, totally is, but it is just chock full of personality. Old characters you've seen before, there are moments where you'll see a green pipe leading into a wall, and you'll be like, oh. And the first time I saw this, I was super stoked, because I avoided trailers. Right. I didn't want to see what this game was about ahead of time. So I know that some of this had been seen before, but this green pipe going into the wall was all pixelated looking. Looked like almost like a Minecraft pipe.
Right, right.
I go into that thing, boop, 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 right?
Oh, nice.
And then come out up on a wall, in old school 1985 Mario style and play a 2D level of Mario on the side of some wall on some building or on a mountainside or something, right, in the full world.
And if this is a movie, we call that fan service.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. But it plays really well. Like, it's actually fun and creative, and there's moments where a Bullet Bill, who's fully 3D realized, you know, texture-shaded, rad-looking outside 3D thing, will come flying into that 2D plane, and then as it slams into it, becomes a normal two-dimensional side-scrolling Bullet Bill that you can kill inside of there. And same goes for stuff that comes out of that world. You'll have items that look just like basic stuff. And when you're in there, all the sound effects and music go down to like 8-bit soundtrack, including the music, everything. It's amazing.
I dig it.
It's so
attention,
good.
Attention to detail.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that Lego does pretty good as well.
Yeah, it's a nice touch. I'm blown away by it. I think it's super, super impressive that they pulled this off. I think this year is going to be very difficult for people to vote between Super Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild for best game of the year. I think they're both clearly in the top, at least the top five, and probably the top two. The question is, who do you give number one to? And I don't know, but that's a great place for Nintendo to be. They have not been there in a long time, and it's awesome. And it plays great on the TV. It plays great portably. I played a lot of this game in bed. I played it with the Pro Controller. I played it with the Joy-Cons on and off using the motion control and without motion control to try to sort of see how it all works. And I'm actually here to tell you something a little surprising, Brian. Hold on to your butt. You ready for this?
Wait on it. This is video. I can actually hold on to my butt. Go ahead.
The best control for the game, they all work. It's all not a problem. And none of it feels janky or anything. But the possibly best control for the game is having the two Joy-Cons out and separate and off the device.
Right, right.
And using the motion control abilities that those things have, like flicking the hat. Swirling the hat around. It's really, really intuitive and shocking because I hate motion controls, and they totally pull it off here. So anyway.
I think they did good. Yeah. So you don't feel weirded out when you're in New Dunk City and all the weirdos are I'm looking at screenshots now and
it's totally weird. Absolutely.
That feels weird. Is it a bridge they're trying to gap between the regular world and VR coming maybe?
No, I don't think so. I think what this is them, I don't know how they did it, because it should look stupid. Like, bringing Mario into that world should feel like, it should be like Howard the Duck, you know?
Yeah, it looks kind of like, remember when Homer, when they first did the 3D for him and he was in the real world? It kind of reminds me of
a little bit of that, yeah. Because these are like normal people, although I shouldn't say that. They're kind of stylized. They look like lots of zoot suits, and it's like 40s, 50s looking, even though everyone's got nicer cars and stuff. But that city is big. The music's amazing. The characters in it are great. I love hopping on somebody's head and not getting off and just pounding their head, and it's over and over and over, and it's just totally trolling these people. But they somehow made that work. Like, I don't know how they made it work, but they made that more realistic environment actually function. And it's kind of mind-blowing, but also super strange. The whole time you're there, like, what is this place? This is weird. So it's awesome. Can't tell you enough about it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love it.
Probably my game of the year, and I'm probably halfway through the...
Hey, Scott, it's only the end of October. Don't blow your load now.
What else have we got, though? We got nothing else between here and now and the end of the year that's that big.
Maybe you end up hating the game. Let's just see.
Yeah, all right. We'll wait until I get done. I'm going to take it with me to BlizzCon, play it on the plane, play in the hotel, that kind of stuff. So I'm going to keep at it. By the time we speak next, I should be either done or close to the core story. But then there's the whole go out and find all the rest of the stuff you didn't find, and there is a ton of that.
That's always my favorite parts.
This is the other thing I wanted to say that I really like about the game. It totally bridges this idea of what... I think this is difficult, so most games kind of fail at this. They figured out a way to say... Here's the linear progression that you can take, right? We want you to go from here to here to here, and we want you to accomplish this goal and get this thing and beat this boss, and then we'll take you to the next world, and you'll unlock that one. Again, it'll let you play that way if you want to. But all along the way, at any given minute, you can go, nope, going to go left instead of right, and I'm going to go find some stuff that is totally, who knew it would be there? Like, here's a rabbit running around the forest. Why? He's annoying the hell out of me. I'll hit him with my hat, and suddenly one of the star things I want, or the moon things, pops out of him, and it's like, oh, that was one of the hidden moons. Like, you discover things just by checking stuff out. Like, just explore. Just walk over there. Just throw a hat and see what happens. Like, really inventive, non-linear, unexpected stuff. But it can be played linearly. Anyway, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to pound through
it. Thanks, Porky Pig.
I'm going to find occasional stuff on the side. And then when I get done, I'm going to go back and get them all. I'm going to get them all. It's really, really good. And you know what I would also say? I would actually also say this. I think that this team, and I don't know if they're the same team. I don't think so. But I think this team learned a lot from the Zelda team and maybe went back and forth. Because there's a lot of stuff in here that you're like, oh, that's very Breath of the Wild. They're doing that right there. Or that's very, that's like that open world or whatever. It's a very interesting take. And yeah, look, if Red Dead Redemption was still coming out this year, the chat room points out, maybe I would hold off on my Game of the Year discussion. But right now it belongs to Mario with a very close from Zelda and a very, I shouldn't say very close, but there's a few right on their heels. But I'm telling you, man. Mario Odyssey. Get it. Have it. Be it. Live it.
Gotta have it now.
Yeah. Any other questions about that game before I tell you about Assassin's Creed Origins a little bit?
Not really. I just know it's going to be awesome, and I'm just not prepared. Not prepared.
You gotta get it. Okay. Assassin's Creed. Fan of the series since the beginning. My favorites are Brotherhood, Black Flag, Syndicate. Those are my top three. That Syndicate was the last one 2 years ago.
Right.
This one is called Assassin's Creed Origins. It is a big, big throwback. In fact, it is the throwback to the origin of all of these origins, of all the Assassin's Creed stuff. And it takes place in ancient Egypt. Pharaohs and pyramids and obelisks
right.
and gods and all that, right? And that's the setting. You play a dude named Bayek. I'm not sure how you say it. And he is a badass. He's a magi, lives in a little offshoot of that part of the world, and takes a much bigger role because of some things that happen that I won't give away. And it is epic and awesome, and it's everything I'd hoped it would be. It is absolutely in my top four games of the year.
Right.
Really.
Do you get to jump off the Sphinx's nose? Is it there?
I have not yet jumped off a Sphinx's nose, but I have jumped off plenty of like other structures that are similar to that.
Right.
So if I were to guess when I get to that, and that's the other thing is the land and the areas and stuff. These are all very historically accurate. Mm-hmm. So wherever the Sphinx is, I'll end up there at some point.
Right.
I'm sure I'll end up on top of the pyramid at some point. Also that's in the trailer. So it seems likely. It's great. It's what you want from Assassin's Creed. But they've also thrown in a few things I want to mention real quick. One is it has actual loot in it now.
Loot.
So the way it used to work is if I killed a dude or whatever, and as I would level up and earn currency, that's how I would upgrade weapons. I would craft new weapons or upgrade the ones I had. And that was fine. That's always worked okay. This game has actual drops in it. So if I kill a dude who I just yanked off his camel and stuck a knife through his head, he will sometimes poop out a lance or a new sword or a shield or something that's better than the one I have. So it's, you know, got a little Diablo going on that way. It's a little more of an RPG as a result. It kind of feels more RPG-ish. The levels feel more meaningful that way. The quests feel like, you know, methods to get better gear, not just better unlocks or whatever.
Right.
But in all the right ways, it's still very much Assassin's Creed. You know, sneak up on a guy, figure out how you want to take out a whole camp of dudes. I love stealth play, so I'm all into like hiding in the bushes, sneak up behind them, shank them in the neck, pull them back. No one saw me do it. Sweet. All right. Oh, and bows are back in this game, so I can shoot bows and hit guys in the head, get headshots and stuff, which gives me extra XP. You have a whole utility tree you can unlock and do all kinds of crazy crap. And there's animals to hunt, and those animals give you materials that you can then use to craft better versions of your chest plate and your weapons.
Animals, like you can hunt camels?
Oh, yeah. Whatever you want. Camels, lynx. They have these big flocks of flamingos. I can go in there and just like tear up a bunch of flamingos and take.
But I want to get back to the camel.
All right.
What do you get out of his hump? Is it a carton of cigarettes?
No, it's rich, creamy nougat. Have you never had a camel hump?
Never had a camel hump.
Nougat-y.
Is it water in there or fat?
I don't know what that is actually. That's a really good point. I don't know what's in a hump.
You have a growth.
But these are all for
your horse.
So there's also mounts, and you can buy and get extra mounts, and I think you can actually tame wild ones. I haven't done this yet, so I can't confirm this, right. But I think you can tame like a wild horse or a wild whatever you call it, but you can also buy them. You earn money at a pretty good clip. There's lots of side missions, story missions, extra missions, along with the mainline quest. Mainline. Gosh dang it, Scott. That word mainline. Or two words, I guess.
Hashtag mainline.
I gotta stop saying it. Anyway, it's awesome. And it's beautiful. That's the other thing I want to mention. I'm playing on a PC, so I can't speak to the console versions, but I'm running this thing at 4K, and it is on a 1080 card from NVIDIA, and it is glorious, beautiful,
that
glorious.
That is always the sell for me for Assassin's Creed. That's always the thing that it's the book cover that gets me to open the book of Assassin's Creed to play every time. It's always the how good it looks.
This was
in Redbox yesterday, and I almost picked up. I wouldn't have any time to play it.
When you get some time, you should check it out. I'd be very curious how you feel about it. Right. If you like it.
So is it worth $3?
Oh, I think it's worth 60.
What?
Yeah.
So you're happy with your complete purchase then?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I knew I was kind of going in. Oh, that's the other thing I should admit to here. It isn't just Assassin's Creed I like. I like pharaohs and desert and that whole vibe. Oh, like just red rock I can climb and leap off onto a camel and then shank two dudes with a scepter and like the whole era is my thing. I loved Egyptian mythology. I love Egyptian history. My favorite games in the 90s were those top-down city builders by Impressions Games.
Yeah,
so I played Pharaoh and Cleopatra expansion. Played those to death. I still have those over here with a 3D hack that lets me play them in 1080 or in 4K, which is really dumb. But anyway, this game is like they let me zoom all the way down and play on the ground, kind of.
Right.
And it's the sights and the sounds and the people walking around going, la, 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 la. They don't have any, I don't know what they're speaking. It's a kind of ancient form of something, but it feels like very authentic, and everything's just real smoky and dry. And there's a scene where I gotta like do some constellation stuff with the stars, and that just feels great.
Oh, you gotta bring out your sextant and figure out where you're at.
Yeah, always. I shouldn't say that, but it's, there's stuff like that. Yes. Right. You also have. Oh, I forgot to mention, you have this bird. You have a hawk. Falcon. Sorry, because it's because it's falconry,
hawk?
Right?
No, falcon.
Falcon.
It's a hawk.
It's not a seahawk. It's a falcon. Go Falcons! But I'll throw him in the air, and he'll go way up in the sky, and then he'll fly over this area, and he can pick out like objectives, and he's like my magic hawk or falcon.
So does your hawk falcon? Does he go? Is that
goes? He makes like a caw sound when I send him up in the sky, and then when you need to find out whether there's like a hidden objective. Right. I can zoom in on it, and he like has this sense. And once he gets it right, it reveals it. And now my dude on the ground can go and do what he has to do. So he's like my overhead tactical buddy.
And have you ran into Susanna Hoffs yet?
No, she's not in there. And she walks
Peterson, maybe.
I think these days she walks like a middle-aged woman, but whatever.
Middle-aged. Yeah. Still walking like a middle-aged Egyptian.
but there's all this religion in this thing. You're starting to see,
which is pretty common.
Oh yeah, yeah. Of course. And then he's got like that's the other thing this game's getting in like not too long. I don't know what the date is on this. Maybe it's early 2018, but they're putting out a patch to this and selling it individually to schools and stuff as a standalone. I don't know if it's with the game or not, but anyway, it's basically a mode in this game where everything's turned off that's game, and it's just a giant big living history exam.
You can kind of like go through like not VR, but you can
just walk through here I am. I'll still fast travel where I need to or get on my camel to go to some place in the desert or whatever, but I'm looking at actual ruins and actual locations, and this was a Giza, or this is the monument they made to Ra, and why was that, and it'll be all this historical info. Like, it's a really cool idea. I wish they'd have done this with all their games.
It's a great idea. I'm so glad they're giving back to the community, but I just can imagine the poor, sad kid who's playing it at home all the time and has to go, oh, this is so stupid.
Well, maybe what it is I think you have to buy the core game, and then the other part is just free add-on, and then teachers can control it. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know the details on it, but I love the idea of it. And I really, I've always appreciated how historically sort of accurate these games have tried to be.
How historically mainline they are.
Yeah, how mainline in history. Mainline. they go with it, with the mainline. Bagheera the Chaz says, I took a pill in Ibiza. Don't do that. That's bad. That's the dance place, isn't it? I got that mixed up with something. Oh, but I'm heading toward Memphis and Alexandria now. Those aren't just it's not just the southern capital of good barbecue, folks. It's an actual place. Memphis was originally an ancient Egyptian city, and Alexandria is not just in your Walking Dead. It's a real place. I'm on my way to that right now. Anyway, it is really cool. So right up there with Mario for me. I mean, I came into it a little biased. I already liked this before I even had my hands on it. Because of all these things, they're just scratching all my itches at once. But turns out they made a really good game too, and it's very it's very impressive. There'll be a lot of people who'll be like, "Assassin's Creed, I haven't played that forever. That's old now. It's 10 years old."
Go. And they even had that stupid movie with that guy, and it was dumb.
And it was dumb. I agree. But I'm telling you, there's still something to say. This new game, the guy that ran the production on this game is super interesting. He's been very very cool, reaching out to the community, talking a lot, lots of cool stage stuff from that guy. It's clear there's a lot of passion in this effort, and I'm very impressed.
All right, so, you talk me into it. I'm going to go spend $3.50 at the Red Box.
Yeah.
And rent it for a day.
Yeah, do that. And let me know what you think, because I'd be curious. So while I was doing all of this, Brian played What the Hen on Android.
So leading up to Halloween this past week, didn't have a lot of time, so picked up a game that I'm already playing.
Yeah.
It's What the Hen is a battle game that I played on Android years ago, and I just picked it up again because I was like, I wonder what they're doing. And so they've added some new cards. You have to build your own battle decks, and you've got different classes and levels, and you have to level them up. And every time you win a battle or a duel, you open up a crate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're lucky, you're getting to chase like on a overall map, like the hen. You're trying to get to the hen. I don't know exactly what the point is getting to the hen. Maybe they said at the very beginning, and I haven't watched the intro trailer in forever.
Yeah.
But the reason why I've been playing so much of it, though, I got hung up. I got obsessed for some reason. I run against a lot of different players, and I have a pretty good success with my deck that I put together. But I ran across someone the other day who had almost an exact deck to me, but they were beating me, like, quickly. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not that far off from his guy's deck. Let me trade a couple of characters, because he's, like, destroying me. So I went and made an identical deck. So now I've got a deck buddy who's just like me. I think his name is like Cody Rules or something.
Mm.
It just gets under my skin. At this point, I just even hate to say his name. Cody Rules. You jerk. He's beaten me like 30 times.
Yeah.
And we have like identical decks, almost identical.
This is an actual person you're competing with?
Yeah, you can hook it up to your Facebook account, and so there's literally a guy, and it's like it says Cody Rules, a little avatar up there, and he's wearing some kind of football uniform, young looking guy. I don't know if it's him or not, but it pisses me off every time I see him, and I get in there and I'm playing this guy, and every time it's like he just runs over me, but we have almost exact same freaking thing, so I was copying him. I literally every time he would play a character, I would play my character. Every time he'd play a little spell, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I just can't beat the guy.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, Brian, they've got a mechanic to get past that. You just pay 25 tokens, and I have like 10,000 tokens or something, and they'll re-roll for somebody else. But for some reason, this identical doppelganger of mine is must go down. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Mm.
But
What the Hen, by the way, available on iOS as well, it looks like.
Right.
I'll download it and try it out. I'm looking at the screens. This reminds me of like a 2D side-scrolling battle or Clash Royale. Wouldn't you say
that's what it is?
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. Just like that. This one's by Charged Monkey.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're always trying to buy you something. They're always trying to get you to buy something. But that's okay because it's not really in your way. It just kind of pops up and goes, hey, look at this cool little illustration with cool characters. spit $9.99. And I'm like, no, click.
Yeah.
And, but it's not really,
it's not too intrusive. Cause one of my problems with Clash Royale is Clash Royale was, brutal with, the way, if you didn't spend money, you'd just get overrun by players that murdered you. So then you'd spend money, you'd feel good about it for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it started to be clear that you were getting bad again because the system was like putting harder people up against you. And so you felt compelled to spend more money. And I think that's dastardly and terrible.
Yeah. I'm on level 5, with my character, and I've been playing it for, you know, a good while. Yeah. And I have not felt like I've ran against a wall until now. And even then I've ran against some people I couldn't beat. And I just eventually said, okay, fine. Here's 25, you know, little tokens. Let's move on. But for some reason, this one has gotten under my skin.
Yeah.
And I got to beat him. I got to beat him.
I understand. Well, good luck. I got to do it. Good luck with What the Hen for you.
What the Hen?
And you play? Did you get Stardew Valley? Somebody gifted it to you or something, didn't they?
They did. We got a gift. I got a gift this past week of Stardew Valley. And I started playing it the other day when we were doing the morning stream. And I never was able to get back to it. It makes me sad. So for this next week, while you're gone.
Yeah.
Because you'll be gone, so no film sack this week for me and you. So I'm gonna have a little extra time.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put together a nice little review of Stardew Valley, and because we're gonna talk about it very shortly. Let's just say there's gonna be some Spelunky.
Whoa!
In my future.
Ted, this isn't your first Spelunky time, is it?
I've dipped my toe ever so gently into Spelunky and enjoyed myself, but never got very far. So I'm gonna try to really hammer it out this time.
Dude, Spelunky is so good.
So good.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Spelunky's great. Totally worth visiting if you haven't played it before. And the fact that there's now a sequel, which we'll talk about soon, is super exciting. And that better damn well be on the Switch at one point. I know they're talking PlayStation 4 and PC at first, but that's a Switch game I want to take with me everywhere I go. It's what kept my Vita alive much longer, was having Spelunky on there. It's a great game. And should be played by all people ever and for always.
Ever and ever.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's do this.
Hey.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Hey. No, just singing along. Oh, was that out loud?
No, it's fine. You can be as loud as you want to be. Hey, the biggest PlayStation news from Sony's Paris Games Week happened. This is from the conference there. Here are some of the games that are happening. All right, so a few details on some things we knew about, like that Detroit game, God of War.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Have you seen that? It looks great.
It looks so good, but wow, a little too realistic.
You think so, huh? Which one? Like, you talking about Last of Us or the Detroit?
No, that was good. Visually speaking, the Last of Us 2 trailer, or whatever was it? It was the Last of Us is
Chapter 2.
That thing was Chapter 2. It was so visually violent. It was off the chain.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My imagination with the other Detroit Become Human is. Whew,
yeah, I'm still not quite sure how I feel about that Last of Us trailer. It's really brutal. Like I don't know if I need more of that in my life. You know, like more. That's just that's some dark business. But I'm also interested to see where they're taking it. Seems like a very different tone than perhaps the first game. Certainly the first game's trailers didn't feel quite like this. But anyway, we'll see what's going on with that. God of War, of course, Last of Us 2, and a bunch of new games. Sucker Punch's Samurai Epic Ghost of Tsushima. Spelunky 2, we mentioned that. A bunch of new IPs. But here are the games that probably made the most freak out. Concrete Genie. Coming to PlayStation 4, wield a magic brush to create colorful living creatures in Concrete Genie.
Did you watch the trailer to this?
I didn't see this. This is the one I didn't see, or one of the ones I didn't see.
It was interesting. There's a kid, and the kid has acquired a large looking brush.
Yeah.
And the kid is a graffiti artist, and so the kid's running through the streets and painting this really spraying some of these really cool decals and things on the walls. And then he starts getting bullied by this group of bullies who is chasing him. And it looks like the character's going deeper and deeper into the world to escape the bullies. And somehow
this graffiti is coming to life.
Whoa.
And so it looks really, really good. But I got to think that once again, it's just, shouldn't that be VR? I mean, it feels like it should be VR.
Well, it could be. I mean, maybe they could do that. But you got to remember the VR development requires as much or more money to develop than a standard game of the same ilk. And then you've got a limited audience who can actually buy the thing. So you've got a lot of people with PCs, a lot of people with PlayStations or wherever the VR experience might be. But the actual number of people with Oculus Rifts and Vives and all that far, far, far dwarfed by the number of people with just straight up, you know, controller screens and let's go.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a risk for them to go all of that way, but for them to, like there was news today that CCP is dropping their VR Valkyrie game. They're just making it a straight up normal game. Cause they're just like, it's not worth it. Not enough people pay for this thing. So we're going to make the, you know, our development will be thrown behind a more traditional sort of approach with the game. And you hear a lot of developers saying, we don't know how much money to put into VR yet, because honestly, we don't know how many are out there. Because that's the other problem is Oculus and I don't think Vive or Valve actually reveal those numbers. So nobody knows what the install base is. And it's kind of like making a Kinect game for the play or for the Xbox 360. It was like, yeah, that's a cool thing. And we want to see Kinect games. And that'd be great if it was really popular. But your install base is nothing compared to just regular 360s.
True story.
So anyway, we'll see.
But it looks good. Yeah. It looks it's kind of interesting because it's a really dark scenes, but it's got really vibrant colors.
Yeah.
And this kid's drawing all these great fun characters. Looks like some of us it's kind of got like remember how I used to pull up the stickers and things in Little Big Planet?
Yeah.
It's kind of got like a kind of like a vibe like that. Yeah. Where you can pull up stickers and apply some of it and apply it in different ways.
That sounds fun and creative, sure. Why the heck not? Oh, yeah, here it is. Look at this. Yeah, this is the one I hadn't seen yet. Oh, interesting. That's one to watch for sure. Let's see. What else? We got The Gardens Between. This I did see. Seems pretty neat. It's the new Captain Toad-like PS4 puzzler called The Gardens Between. You're two teenagers, and you explore these little island worlds. It's really weird. They use time manipulation and other stuff to solve puzzles. If you're a puzzle solver, that looks like a pretty good game. I don't love those kinds of games. Mainly because I feel like I'm usually too tired to want to do that. Like, just give me something to, I don't know. Like, I want to blow something up most of the time. So I don't want to go solve a puzzle. But it looks really cool. That looks really neat.
Right. I don't know if I want to be solving puzzles and crap.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep. I'm excited about Guacamelee 2. I love Guacamelee 1.
How can you not be excited?
Well, the first one was like a... It was a, you know, Metroidvania kind of game, but it was weird and funny and just a real different take on that whole side-scrolly Castlevania kind of style game, and I thought it was awesome. So to hear there's a sequel to that is very exciting. There's a gameplay trailer out there, and they say it's coming soon. We don't know what that means. Probably 2018 is my thinking.
Yeah, most of the stuff is 2018. Most of the stuff they talked about. I mean, it'd be tough to have a reveal for anything this close to Christmas. You know what I mean? It would just be tough.
Totally. Now, in a big indie swoop, I think Sony has signed a deal with the developer of Spelunky to do Spelunky 2 as PS4 and Steam exclusives. Well, they don't have anything to do with the Steam part, but this will be like the, you know, this is like Microsoft's deal they made for the one that just came out. What's it called? Cuphead.
Cuphead, right.
It's like that deal. Microsoft gets exclusivity, at least some timed exclusivity on the Xbox, and it's on PC. Same deal happens for Spelunky 2. It will end up on the PC and PlayStation 4. I think that's good for two reasons. One, it's a big get for Sony. That's a strong, important game. People love Spelunky. It's amazing. It's one of the best games ever made, in my opinion. However, it would have been a real bummer if this was PS4 only. The PC heritage for that game goes deep, and I think they would have really pissed off a lot of
deep
old school Spelunky fans if they wouldn't have had this on the PC. So that's good to see. Anyway, some good stuff coming out of Paris. Usually you just get Patrick and cheese and like scarves and stuff.
Yeah, the scarves are superb and the cheese is smelly. It's just, then we got this instead.
Yeah,
so.
It's something special, Brian. It's something special.
It did feel special and old. Who's the announcer guy that was talking today?
Larry, Jim, Bob.
No, it was something like that. It's like Dylan. No, it's not Dylan. Anyway, he like he needed some water. Very dry mouth. He was kept licking.
She hate that audible light.
Right.
I hate it, dude. Here at Sony, we believe gameplay is important above all. All right.
So much so that we refuse to wet our lips.
That's right. All right, we talked about Last of Us, but I just wanted to just touch on it briefly as far as like the tone of that trailer. This is a big, big, big release for Sony when it comes out, a big Naughty Dog game. The first game was heralded by players and critics alike. People loved that. PlayStation 3 game originally ended up as a remaster on the PlayStation 4, did pretty well there. It's the only platform it's ever been on. It is a system seller for many people. So... 2 is highly and hotly anticipated. All we know about this is there's a girl. She's getting the crap kicked out of her, although she looks so buff. I don't know how she didn't take
she
all those
does,
people
man.
At once.
She's like
ripped. She's freaking ripped. And she is voiced by Laura Bailey. Sort of friend
Laura
of the,
Bailey.
Sort of friend of the program. She's also Laura Bailey plays Jaina Proudmoore in World of Warcraft. So that's how long I know her.
Okay.
Anyway, then there's these two other characters. They appear to be Asian, and they're running from or away from, I guess, some sort of cult-type lady and her henchmen. There's an awful scene with a hammer that made me seriously wonder, what the hell are we doing in this video game? Okay. That's awful. And then sort of a hanging, and then we get zombie creatures at the end. And it looks great. It looks really, really nice, but... it looks really depressing to me. Like
it. Well, we've only seen just a minute of it, and I'm with you. So, I mean, it totally reminded me when they were showing the trailer. If you haven't seen it, there's like a Negan moment where she just one of the characters just takes a brutal, beating to some parts of the body. It's just not.
It's
cool
very. Yet. I mean, it's very much like this. This whole series is very much like the parts of Walking Dead that are the most brutal or soul crushing. That's kind of what these games are. The first game was very much like that too, but at least that one kind of had this like you're rooting for what's his name, and maybe we will here too. They just didn't show us very much, but it looked brutal, and
And it was nothing but brutal because you didn't really get a sense of is there some new gameplay? Is what's the new storyline? If the new storyline is getting beat out in the woods by some people,
yeah,
I guess that's the story. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. They haven't convinced me yet. Maybe. That was just a teaser to get people to talking, and it certainly did. So, good job. Oh yeah. Bodath said Jim Ryan. That's who it is. That was the announcer today.
Oh, with the Jim Ryan. There you go. Two first names. Yeah. Yep. That's how it works for that guy. Anyway, it's interesting. If you want to see a lady get her a hatchet buried in her head, and someone else get their arm busted by a hammer, I bet you I got a video for you right here.
Mm-hmm. So good.
That was hard.
So good.
So freaking hardcore, dude. All right, so that's that. That was fun. Hope you enjoyed it. What do we have here? Oh, looky here, everybody. It's time for your emails. They came to us at boopshow@gmail.com, and this one came from SuperDave531. I don't think this is Dave Osborne. Probably not him.
No, I forgot about Super Dave.
You remember
him? He was on HBO, didn't he?
Yeah, HBO. He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm sometimes.
Yeah, and he used to come on. Was it David Letterman used to always come on?
Yep.
He was always on that show.
Well, he played Super Dave for a while. Remember Super Dave?
Right.
And he was in like a. It was like a.
Evil Knievel.
Yeah, there you go. And he had some weird guy that would come on with him all the time and just sort of sit there. And he was great on. He was the surrogate for. for the dad in. I can't think of anything today. None of these words are working. Arrested Development. He was like, he wore the hat and the speakers and stuff. It was great. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Loved him in that. Anyway,
so good.
Here's the email from Super Dave. He says, hi, Scott and Brian. With regards to your previous episode. That's what he sounds like.
I would love you to read the whole thing like that. There's no way. I don't dare.
It says, about the lot of SNES classics shipping without power supplies, I personally just use one of those USB rechargeable power banks for mine whenever I play. He says it's one less cable that has to hang off the back of my coffee table, and I hate cables. It's pretty low at power consumption, and I've used a variety of USB power banks and USB adapters, iPhone included, with both my classic controllers, NES and Super NES alike, with great results. Happy gaming, gentlemen. Super Dave. He says, yes, Scott, the other 530 were taken in a reference to Diablo Show reference 21. I don't remember that. But anyway.
Remember that one time on that show?
Forever ago, years ago?
That one time.
That I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm glad Super Dave sent that in because I sure enough was too lazy to go look it up. True story.
Yeah.
And that's not sarcasm. I really was. I never did. I thought about it for a minute last time during the show. I was like, oh, I really should look it up and see if I can just do it through normal cable.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm not doing it. Super Dave will email us in and
let me know. You can use any USB charger. They're not a problem. They all use the same rough here or there voltage. Now, if you have one of these Anker power bank things, though, and I have one. Right. I'm taking it on this trip. You can charge a couple of USB devices together. If you got a phone, it'll give you a full recharge plus another half or something. Mm-hmm. But these are so low power consumption that just having this brick out there and no... In fact, if you have a problem with short cables, this is a great way to solve that problem because then you just pull it much closer to you because you don't have to be plugged into the wall and just run it off your little generator there. That's the way to do it.
Up your generator.
I like this a lot, Super Dave.
I like the idea that Scott has like a gas-powered generator sitting in the middle of his room.
I got one sitting right in the middle of my life. Actually, I have one right over
here. Very Halloween-y.
I can't reach it, but it's plugged in over there. It's charging. That'll go on the trip with me. I love that thing. TSA doesn't seem to care about it. It's about the size of a... I don't know, like
hey, TSA, what's thinking about my chainsaw?
No, it's like a square hockey puck size, and they've never said anything about it, so...
Nice.
I've taken it on like 4 flights, so should be fine. Not worried about it. Anyway, well done. I'm not taking my SNES, though, to this trip because I won't have time. That's dumb.
No,
who would have time for that?
You got other things to do. The SNES will be there when you get back.
Yeah, or somebody will have one in the guild hall or something, and I'll plop down and play with them, but ain't going to be me.
Hey, you guys playing that? Can I come sit down and play with you guys?
Hey, you guys. Can I sit here?
I'm Scott Johnson.
I'm Scott Johnson. I should be allowed to sit here. All right, time for us to jump into these here final notes of the day. And here's the thing. We are going to be here next week, but it's going to be a whole week of me at BlizzCon. So when I get back, I don't know. That's all I'm going to have in my brain. So I'm going to rely on Brian to have a bunch of other info that we can share on the show next Monday. Looking forward to it. That's assuming that, A, I don't die in a horrible plane crash, or, like I told Brian Ibbett this morning on TMS, stroke out on my stage presentation on Saturday. Oh, Scott, what's that you're talking about? Well... we're doing a live instant / panel / something.
What?
We don't have full details yet, but it will be on your virtual ticket. So you can watch it at home. If you have the virtual ticket for BlizzCon, either you have that via the web or you're doing it through DirecTV. But one way or the other, if that's how you're watching it, you can watch it. Or if you're there, please come and see us. That's at 11 o'clock local time there in Anaheim on Saturday morning. And it'll be me, Patrick Beja. I've also invited Pat Crane from the CTR podcast. He'll be joining us. And no Terpster, no Dills this year. They're not coming this year. Aww. So we had to make up for some people. But that doesn't matter because we'll have Blizzard people as well on the stage, which we're very excited about. And if that doesn't kill me, then I'll be back for the Boop Show next week. Pretty excited about it. Brian, anything you'd like to mention that you're doing before we go? Something they should check out while I'm gone?
Sure. Wow. Go to YouTube and check out my YouTube channel, Brian Dunaway.
Yeah.
And I try to give me some tips for how to beat What the Hen, WTH, trying to beat my deck doppelganger.
Yeah, just the tip. He's looking for just the tip.
Just the tips, please.
Yeah. Can you only just give him the tip? That'd be great.
Preach.
I don't know if that means anything. Probably not, right?
I hope not.
I hope not, too. What else? That's it for us, everybody. Frogpants.com/BOOP. Son, that's where you go to get all our web information. There's links to everything there, and we'd really appreciate it if you did. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. We're at Boopshow on Twitter. You can find Brian over there, at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. You can find me at Scott Johnson, and our music was made by the wonderful, the amazing, the incredible Rob Gabers and his album Music for a 1950s Video Game. Support us at Patreon, patreon.com/frogpants. All of that is very much appreciated. And you can find more stuff like this at frogpants.com. I think that's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, for all of you, and for gamers everywhere. Oh, I don't speak for them. I shouldn't say that.
Shouldn't say that.
But we love you all, and we'll see you next week. Brian, bye. Yes. Have a great week.
That's so mainline.
Bye. Mainline. Bye. We This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
We have done it!
We have created a show!